What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a few transactions that have happened for the Washington Wizards over the past few days. You got a veteran signing in Anthony Gill back on a one-year deal. You got Jaylen Martin waived, and another two-way spot opened up. Preseason schedule released. Again, it's August. There's really not much to talk about in Wizards land, but again, I do want to try to at least get one of these episodes out to you guys each week, you know, throughout August, throughout September, you know, in the months leading up to the season, to kind of keep this momentum going. So I do want to lead off the show by talking about somebody who the Wizards waived back on June 29th, and that's Anthony Gill. Again, you know, this is a veteran guy that many, you know, expected the Wizards to not guarantee his contract, and, you know, the Wizards didn't do that. They ended up waiving him, but he's back. You know, Anthony Gill, I believe by the season, let me actually look this up real quick, but I believe by the beginning of the season, Anthony Gill will be 33 years old. So again, far older than the majority of the roster, you know, not obviously considering Middleton and McCollum, who are also going to be around that age at the start of the season. You know, Gill's a lot older and is nowhere near the skill level or the production of a guy like CJ McCollum or of a guy like Chris Middleton. You know, not a guy that's going to start or play heavy minutes for the Wizards. And that was kind of the reasoning for parting ways. You know, this is a guy that's been your true locker room guy, veteran presence, veteran mentor, whatever you want to call it. You know, basically the NBA term for a guy that, you know, really wouldn't be on the team if it weren't for how good of a guy he is for some of the younger guys, how he mentors them, how he sets a good example, a good precedent for how to come in each day and kind of do your job, how he kind of makes everybody feel welcome. You know, those are all traits of Anthony Gill. If you took those away, you know, skill-wise, he probably wouldn't be a candidate for this 15-man roster or for most 15-man rosters in the league. And that's not to say that Anthony Gill doesn't have game, because there are moments over the last couple of years, especially early in his Wizards tenure, again, been with the team since 2020, that he has shown, you know, he can be a solid forward, a solid option off the bench for the Wizards. He's started many, many games, you know, during his time in DC. The issue that I think a lot of fans have had with Gill hanging around in DC for as long as he has, and obviously, you know, with the Gill signing, I mean, my comments were honestly mostly negative. And I think the reason for that is because people, it's just kind of, you know, they're scratching their head at the fact that, you know, when will this team move on? You know, Gill has been great. You know, he's a great veteran presence, all that. But his re-signing, obviously, to a one-year, I would assume, veteran minimum deal, which is about 2.3-ish million, that takes away a roster spot, you would presume, from a guy that's in his early to mid-20s and, you know, likely has a lot more career ahead of himself than Anthony Gill does. You know, this could be a last hurrah one-year deal for Gill. You know, but it's pretty clear, I think, that the Wizards, if they're bringing him back, value that type of leadership, value that veteran presence in a locker room full of young guys looking to find their way versus somebody on the back end of that roster, like a Dylan Jones or like a Malachi Branham that are in their, you know, early to mid-20s, but again, are guys that, number one, weren't drafted by the current front office, were acquired via trade this offseason and aren't necessarily tied to anybody in the organization. They cut ties with them. There's nobody there saying they made bad picks or they made bad trades. They were acquired to get off salary, but to also bring back a second round pick in the process. And that's why the Wizards made both trades. They didn't make the trade to get a centerpiece in Malachi Branham. They already bought out Blake Wesley from that trade. They also, you know, with Colby Jones, it was kind of like, okay, the Thunder need to get off a roster spot. They're going to attach a second round pick, just take on $2.5 million you owe Jones this year, and then he's off the books the next 2 years. You could waive him, eat that salary, and then move on to the next season. So again, those are two guys I think that are on the end, and they're kind of bubble guys that I think could be waive candidates, if not to possible trade candidates. I don't think you'll find a trade with either of them, but definitely guys that are on the bubble. Just for those reasons that I laid out, that again, they weren't drafted by Dawkins and Winger. They were acquired via trade, and they weren't the centerpieces of those trades. You know, the centerpiece was the second round pick. So I think, you know, those could become two bubble guys with the fact that Washington is now, after the Gill signing, at 16 standard NBA contracts. Teams need to be down to 15 by opening night on October 22nd, it appears. So, you know, obviously with the Gill signing, something has to give, and it could be a trade. I mean, Corey Kispert, again, I've seen no actual trade rumors with him involved. I think the fan base, after a bad year for Corey, shooting wise as well, just kind of want to see him traded. Also wasn't drafted by the current regime. But again, I've seen nothing with that. I don't know who else could be a possible trade candidate. I've seen some people or fans, you know, inquiring about whether they'll buy out Middleton. I think that's just a very hefty price to pay. I don't know how much money he's going to want to give back. It seems that Smart gave back, you know, a decent bit of money to go ahead and eventually sign with LA. Gave back around $6 million with the Wiz, signed for roughly $5-ish million per year with LA. So gave back hundreds of thousands, but again, that's kind of the price he was willing to pay to go to a contender. I don't know if Middleton, you know, who's making $14 million more per year than Smart. I don't know if there's a number that him and the Washington could reach, but it just seems like the realistic pathway is Dylan Jones or Malachi Branham getting waived. And like I also mentioned at the top of the show, Washington waived Jalen Martin. Again, brought him over. He was on Brooklyn for a bit at the beginning of last season. There was kind of a mid-season pickup. Was on a two-way deal with Washington. Appeared in 13 games for the Wiz last season. Again, didn't show that much. Wasn't terrible. I kind of liked when he drove to the basket, but again, didn't show me too much in terms of a shooter. Definitely didn't show too much in terms of, okay, the Wizards really need to keep this guy around, and so they waive him, and now they have Tristan Vukcevic and they have Jameer Watkins as their two-way guys right now. That leaves one more open two-way spot. It's possible, again, that they could convert Dylan Jones to a two-way spot. You know, I'm pretty sure, at least I'm not a cap guru, but I'm pretty sure that's possible given, you know, he's only going to be a second year in the league. So I would assume that's a possibility. I don't think they can do it with Branham just because he's been on in the league too many years, I think, to be on a two-way deal. But I certainly do think that maybe Kadari Richmond is a candidate. I saw that the Wizards signed Nicola the Gak to an Exhibit 10, which I would assume is basically a training camp deal up to this point. So those are some of the transactions. But that open two-way spot, you know, Kadari Richmond, maybe he slides into that. Somebody that impresses with a go-go could maybe slide into that. It could also be somebody that we don't know, we haven't heard of yet. They did something like that with Jared Butler a couple years back, and eventually, you know, converted that standard deal. You've certainly seen it in a multitude of ways, them using those two-way contracts and eventually converting them to standard deals, like with Jordan Goodwin and all that. So that's kind of the Jalen Martin two-way saga. But again, back to Gill. Look, I think critics are more so upset, like I mentioned, that it's a 33-year-old taking up a roster spot from a young 20-year-old amid a rebuild in which the Wizards are probably going to be bad yet again. And the argument, I guess, from critics is the team's going to suck. Why not see if one of these, you know, 20-year-olds can stick versus a guy like Gill, who, you know, is probably not going to be with the team for the foreseeable future. It could just be a one-year rental before you move on. Look, like Dylan Jones, Malachi Branham, if they do get cut, they probably weren't going to get much playing time anyway. I mean, if you can't find playing time for like Will Riley, then you're probably not going to find playing time for either of those two guys. I mean, they were both on semi-rebuilding teams. I mean, not Dylan Jones, but like Branham last year, where the Spurs were trying to win. And in that case, he couldn't find himself a role there. Dylan Jones was the 14th, 15th man on a championship team. But again, maybe they can find a role in the Wizards. I doubt it. But certainly makes it intriguing. And you have a lot of comments about Gill basically saying, you know, just hire him as a coach. I saw that a lot, and that kind of annoyed me. Like, I think it was either Josh Robbins or Varun Shankar that tweeted something or wrote something basically saying that Gale was asked at some point in the season if he'd be open to coaching. And he kind of shot it down saying that he just wants to play. He's not really open to coaching. So for those people saying, why not just hire him as a coach if you want him for these veteran presence, that is the reason. You know, he has to also want to be hired as a coach. Clearly, Gil still thinks he can play. You also have, you know, a lot of people that are like up in arms, which is it's insane to me that, you know, for a team that just won 18 games and is probably going to suck again this year, fans are like so genuinely mad and going in like they were legitimately like long, you know, heated, animated comments back and forth and under my Gil tweet. From fans going back and forth at how angry they are about how the Wizards signed a 33-year-old veteran instead of giving playing time to a pair of younger players that probably won't also be here for the foreseeable future. Like, only Wizards fans could get that worked up about the 15th man on a team being a 33-year-old veteran versus it being a 23, 24-year-old younger player that probably won't stick either. So again, I think it's kind of like a non-argument. Like, I'm someone that understands that Gil and what he brings to the table is way more valuable than the common fan will be able to see. All they see is box scores and age, and they're not actually behind the scenes getting a look. Neither am I, but I do read and I do know how it works, and I'm mature enough to understand that. You know, there's way more that meets the eye to the signing of Gil than just counting stats and the fact that he's going to be 33 on opening night. Like, this is a guy that's going to help all these young guys kind of navigate the league, be a vet to some of the rookies maybe, certainly a well-liked guy. I mean, if you're sticking around for this long through regime after regime after regime, coach after coach, different types of players, and you're still signing extensions, or you're still signing, you know, new deals in free agency, then clearly you bring something to the table that the, you know, the common fan on the outside won't be able to see. And that's kind of my approach to the Gil signing. So again, I like the veteran presence, veteran minimum deal. I understand why some people are upset, but again, you know, it's a 15th man. Would you rather that be someone that can truly help the young guys acclimate and develop and kind of, you know, help the organizations, you know, set that standard for whatever culture they want to build? Or would you rather it be a Dylan Jones and Malachi Branham that are probably going to offer more on the court than Gil, but also probably won't be here past whatever guarantees they have on their contracts, which for both of them is just this upcoming season. So, some people are up in arms. I think it's kind of ridiculous. I like the Gil signing. I like bringing him back as that 15th man. I mentioned Jaylen Martin being waived. That brings me to the third part of it, which is the updated roster. And I like to I feel like this is a continuous thing in each of these, or I guess segment in each of these pods throughout the offseason. It's just kind of giving, you know, a little bit of a rundown on the updated roster for Washington. At the guard position, you got Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Trey Johnson, AJ Johnson, and Malachi Branham. At the wing position, Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Justin Champagny, Corey Kispert, Will Riley, Cam Whitmore, and Dylan Jones. And then at the forward positions, you have Alex Sarr, Marvin Bagley III, and now Anthony Gill. That's 16 of 15 standard deals. Like I mentioned, someone will have to get cut, waived, whatever, to get down to 15 standard contracts by the start of the NBA season. I also mentioned I think Branham and Jones could be those bubble guys, mainly because they weren't drafted by Dawkins. They were acquired via trade, not the centerpieces of those trades. I think it'd be pretty easy to part with those two guys, especially with Gil taking on that last spot. Again, wing is very jam-packed. Guard, also five guards there. I think you have plenty, maybe not enough true point guards there, like some fans have argued, but certainly enough depth there. And then you have Gil there at that forward, because, you know, Gil's played some small ball five. I think he's, you know, at heart a power forward, kind of a true throwback power forward. So I think if you do need somebody to give, you know, any type of minutes, if Sarr or Bagley are injured or missing a game or in foul trouble, I certainly think that Gil would be that next man up to kind of fill that void as a small ball center. Then also with Vucevic and Watkins on the two-way, you have that open slot that you can definitely add some talent there to round out that roster. But that's kind of, you know, an update to that. Moving forward, Eurobasket. Again, it's been difficult to find streams for these games. I wasn't even able to find a site that gave actual stats for the second game that France played against Great Britain. Again, there's not too much to harp on for that. Bilal had a big dunk. France won by 7. They're now 2-0 in the friendly matches before Eurobasket, which I believe begins on August 27th. So these are kind of some ramp-up games. But France did finalize their roster. They had to make three cuts. Of those, noteworthy was Frank Ntilikina. He was cut. So some NBA players also not making the full team. But Alex Arbelo, Koulibaly are part of that 14-man roster. They played limited minutes, you know, not playing 20, 25-plus minutes per game. They both played around 13 to 14 minutes in that opener for France against Montenegro. And they played well, especially Sarr, who led France in scoring with 19 points, 4 boards on 7 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, and plus 14 in just 14 minutes. Again, was really impressed with his overall floor game, but that 3-point shot again, 3 of 5 from 3, a good volume, really thought he played under control. And again, you know, 19 points in 14 minutes is quite impressive. So really like what I saw from him. And then Bilal, again, was solid in limited minutes. Played just 15 minutes, 10 points, 3 boards, 4 or 5 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. There were some people that said that they wanted him to do more, that 5 shots wasn't enough. But again, like, how are you going to knock on a player that was 4 or 5 from the field, made both his 3-pointers, double-digit points, was under control, started the game, and played some crunch time minutes. That's, you know, a clutch rebound. Really enjoyed the opener from both of those guys. On a France team that has good, you know, playing NBA players, you know, they're missing Wemby and Gobert and Fournier, some of their heavy hitters. But you still have guys like Zachary Sache and Yabu Sele, Poirier, who's kind of a guy that's played a lot of ball for France. He's been suiting up for them. So, you know, their heavy hitters aren't there. But still NBA-level talent on that team. And you got Bilal starting both games. You have Sarr leading them in scoring in the first game. So, again, don't want to harp too much on the friendly matches of Eurobasket. But I have been intrigued by at least some of the stints of both of those guys getting some run in the offseason. I mean, the athleticism of Bilal is on full display. He's going to put some guys on posters at some point this season. Had a really big dunk, like I mentioned earlier, in the second game against Great Britain. Reece Ache also had a pretty mean dunk on the baseline. Sarr in that second game, I believe I saw a stat that he was 3 of 3 inside the paint and 0 of 7 outside the paint. So again, first game was one of the games where his 3-pointer was on. And you kind of saw a glimpse of why he was drafted number 2. And then the second game was kind of like, hey, we saw this a lot last year. You're really good when you're in the paint and you're efficient. And when you step out and you force fadeaway, turnaround, long twos, and force 3-point shots, you're not willing to work to get a better look in the paint. You know, when those shots aren't falling, you know, it's pretty difficult to watch. And so I think you saw the best of both worlds from Sarr in that first game. And then you also saw the downside and some of those shooting struggles that you saw, the sporadic shooting nights, the inefficiency from outside that you kind of saw from Sarr last season, that's something he's definitely got to shore up. But certainly, you know, an impressive opener against Montenegro for Alex. And I'll continue to monitor how those two play later during the tournament, Eurobasket later this month. Another thing to note is the Wizards preseason schedule was released, and it's 3 games for now. I feel like there's usually 4 or 5, so maybe this is just a preliminary schedule, or maybe they did just shrink it. But October 12th is their preseason opener for the Wizards at home against Toronto. That's a Capital One Arena. And then October 13th is at the Knicks. October 16th is at Detroit. Again, there could be some more here, but that's just what the Wizards released the other day. Preseason, you know, I'm sure you'll see the starters early on, and they'll play a decent bit. And then towards the end, you know, I'm sure they'll sit that final game, and you'll kind of see some other players, some other guys get some run to end preseason as the Wizards try to evaluate who makes that 15-man roster. That's probably going to do it, honestly. Like, I don't want to stretch these episodes to just talk about nonsense because there's nothing going on. I kind of touched as much as I could on the Anthony Gill re-signing. You know, 1 year, I would assume vet minimum deal gives them another small ball type center and a true power forward to play that position and give Sarr and Bagley a spell if injury arises or if they just kind of are in foul trouble or are in need of somebody to kind of give them some minutes down low. I think Gill can eat those minutes up while also serving as that veteran mentor that has, you know, allowed him to stick around since 2020 on this Wizards roster. Again, that means that they're at 16 to 15 standard deals, which means that a cut is going to have to be made. I think based on deductive reasoning, Dylan Jones, Malachi Branham make the most sense unless a trade is made beforehand, which I, again, don't foresee. And then the waving of Jay Lamar, and then they now have an open two-way spot behind Vukcevic and Watkins there. Talked about the updated roster, talked about Sarn and Bilal and Eurobasket, impressive debuts there. We'll definitely talk about it and then finish with that preseason schedule. So, again, a bit of a shorter episode, but wanted to get some content out. Wanted to give you guys kind of my thoughts on the Gill signing and kind of why I'm not panicking and understand it more than maybe some of the other fans do. And again, I'm not saying that they're wrong for their take. Like, again, I do understand that a 33-year-old signing isn't going to jump off the page or make fans too excited on a rebuilding team. But again, just because they're rebuilding doesn't mean they can't have veterans. Just because they're rebuilding doesn't mean that every single player needs to be a young, raw, aspiring 20 to 25-year-old wing. Like, that's what they're looking for. But you need some veterans on this team. You saw with Houston when they had Steven Silas as their coach before they brought in Udoka. It was just a bunch of young guys that really didn't know what they were doing. There wasn't any true veteran presence on that team. And then they added those veterans, and they added guys like Jeff Green, who really doesn't even play for them, but is just a guy that they re-sign because they like his veteran presence. And they kind of like what he's able to do for some of their younger guys. They obviously have Van Vliet there. They have brought in Dylan Brooks and now KD. So I think, you know, for young rebuilding teams, I think Wizards fans and rebuilding fans sometimes get a little too caught up in the, you know, stacking young talent aspect and aren't too keen on some of the less flashy moves like keeping Middleton and McCollum around and probably even starting them for some games and keeping a guy like Gill in the fold, you know, over some other 20-year-old guy. You know, there is real value in that. And it's hard for, I guess, the standard fan to see that doesn't really understand beyond counting stats and age what guys can offer, but it's pretty clear if they're, you know, still continuing to bring Gill back that he has real value in what this team is trying to build, you know, culture wise, youth and talent wise. And he seems to be an integral part in that. That's why he's been continuously brought back through regime changes, through coaching changes. And I think that's why I can kind of back it. But again, I'm not going to harp on that too much. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Shorter episode, but we definitely want to get something out for you guys. Let me know in the comments if you are one of the fans that are agreeing with me and that kind of understand and like the Gill signing for that veteran presence as that 15th man, or if you're one of the people that disagree with me and disagree with the Wizards and say, hey, you know, that's a 33-year-old. We understand what he can give. Thank you for your service. But it's time to move on and give it to some other younger player on that last 15th roster spot. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Let me know what you think in the comments. And again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the support. I don't know when I'll be back for a new episode just because I'm going to record these based on what happens for the team. Don't really want to force them too much. But, you know, that's going to wrap it up. Again, thank you guys for listening. It's going to do it. Go Wiz.